Welcome to Sisters in Christ podcast. I'm here with Pamela Ferguson. She threw me under the bus today.
I did not.
And today we are diving into the powerful story of Mary Magdalene, a woman set free by Jesus, a devoted follower or disciple of Jesus, and a testimony of what it means to be truly transformed by Christ. So, in Pam's words, get your coffee, tea, water, or whatever your favorite drink is, and come along with us on this Easter journey. Mary Magdalene's name appears in all four Gospels. She was one of the women who followed Jesus, financially supported his ministry, and was the first to witness his resurrection. But before she became a devoted follower, Mary was a woman in bondage until Jesus set her free. Let's begin with Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Soon afterwards, he, Jesus, went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Mary was once held captive by 7 demons. We don't know exactly what this looked like, but we can imagine that her life was one of torment, isolation, and hopelessness. We understand that 7 is often symbolic of completeness, meaning she was in complete bondage, spiritual captivity, demonic oppression, likely affecting her mind, body, and soul. So she was enslaved. She was spiritually dead, unable to free herself. So Pam, what do you think that looked like for Mary?
When I studied this, subject, I don't know if you remember growing up, that song, "Run Along, Mary, Tell My Disciples, Oh, Mary, Meet Me Over in Galilee." That's Mary. Like, when I heard that song, I thought about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Okay. I didn't realize they had, 3 or 4 Marys in the Bible. But it was this Mary Magdalene that Jesus told to go to Galilee to tell his disciples. And then reading about Mary, I felt that this was a powerful message, Tamara. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, this is a woman who Jesus delivered from 7 demons. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6.
Mercy. 7.
7 demons. Yes. And sometimes we come across people, is that person got demons? But this one had 7.
Wow.
Christ delivered her from her demons. And so the story of Mary Magdalene is one for me of transformation, devotion, and faith. Here is a woman who God delivered, and she devoted her life to serving him thoroughly.
Yeah.
And it causes me to sit down and think and say, God, am I doing enough for you? So I just enjoyed learning more about Mary Magdalene. And it caused me to reflect on what God has done in her life. And I'm just excited about where this study will lead her.
Yeah, she was bound. And I was wondering what that visual would look like, because sometimes we drive the streets and we may see someone acting in a strange way, and they might be scantily clothed. And we may assume, but this person looks like they have a demon. I mean, they could be mentally ill. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying we have in our minds what a person who is demonically possessed looks mm-hmm. like. And for Mary, I'm wondering what that might have been for her. She could have been in a normal frame of mind, you know, mm-hmm. But just captive and unable to free herself from an internal torment.
Right.
And many of us, when I thought about Mary and possibly having internal torment, we can think about even the spirit of fear,
right.
anxiety, mm-hmm. depression. These things torment us. They cause us to be paralyzed, mm-hmm. unable to move forward, unable to free ourselves. And this is, in some way, when I think about it, sin does the same thing.
Right.
Sin keeps us captive. Mm-hmm. We are a slave to sin.
Right.
And this is why we need a Savior. But Mary encountered Jesus.
Yeah. And like you say, sometimes we may think of a deranged person, you yeah. know, just roaming around the street, but not necessarily so.
No.
It's just these demons that took over her life and have her doing things that definitely weren't pleasing in the eyes of God, but he delivered her. And then I think the mistake that sometimes, what I learned from this, sometimes people see us today or they may see someone today and they think that that was where that person always was.
True.
Oh my goodness, so you love the Lord and you're so committed and you're so faithful and your family is doing so well. But we don't know where that person came from.
Yeah.
My aunt used to say, you see the glory, but you don't know
the story.
Mm-hmm. And so if we had encountered Mary when Jesus had told her to go and tell the disciples, we would think, wow, that's powerful. Or we had encountered Mary when she was the first to see the resurrected Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, she had a prominent place in Christian yeah. History. But this is a Mary who was demon seven times. seven times possessed.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so important, Tamara, for us as believers to acknowledge where God has brought us from.
Yeah.
Because so many people are watching us. And if they think that where we are or where we appear to be seems so untouchable or so unreachable, it could get them discouraged.
Yeah.
So when Mary gave her story, I could imagine. I mean, I feel that today in the church world that people feel that we have to be so sanitized before we could come to church. When church is that place to we come to be delivered,
yeah.
and we come to be healed, and we come to be set free.
Well, thank God for Jesus, because if it was up to man to determine that Mary would be the one who would be at the foot of the cross
mm-hmm.
and the one to receive the message that he is alive, she would have been disqualified.
Oh, yeah.
She would have been disqualified, but it was not up to man. And what I like is she didn't choose Jesus. She didn't seek him out.
Mm-hmm.
She was demon possessed, and like you said, seven times, and he went to her.
Mm-hmm.
He came to her and set her free. She was delivered
mm-hmm.
from seven demons, and her deliverance caused her to do some things.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, she followed him and his ministry.
Yep. And you know what? I think what this, the significance of the story with Mary Magdalene and her transformation revealed to me the significance of women
mm-hmm.
in ministry.
Yeah, and Jesus showed that in the sense that he allowed these women
mm-hmm.
to travel with him in his journey.
Yep.
Wherever he went, they were there. And not only that they were there, they were hearing his teachings. They were observing the way he did things when he went to pray mm-hmm. and so forth. Disciples yeah, as well.
Exactly. And it was uncommon back in those days for females to follow their rabbi like that. But what he did, and I noticed this in another study with the children, right? He did something radical. When he allowed these women to follow him in his ministry, he did something radical. What he was showing was there was equality in the kingdom of God.
Yes, yes, yes. There's no Jew or Greek or male or female.
Bound or free. We are all one in Christ. He was showing equal. Because back in those days, women were not regarded. It was a patriarchal society back in those days. And women weren't really regarded as anything much, just like children. But when Christ came, he broke those social norms. And Jesus instead talked to women.
Yes.
He blessed them and he healed them. Look at the Samaritan woman at the well.
Yes.
He had a conversation with her. You think in today's terms, they would probably be like, oh, no, I can't talk to you. The man of God sitting down talking to you. No, the man of God got to go on the other side because you.
This happens. This happens today.
You aren't worthy to talk to us. Like I said, we tried to make the church so sanitized, but Jesus came to break those social norms.
Yes.
And he came to show that we as women have prominence, not over men.
No.
It was not meant to be, to cause strife.
Yeah.
We have different qualities.
Yeah.
And once we complement each other, God said, women are the helpmeet.
Yes.
Then this is supposed to advance the gospel. So I like that he broke those stereotypes and those social norms. And he said, no, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to teach you.
He blessed her. Well, he delivered her, healed her, blessed her, taught her. and she journeyed with him. So she got to see several aspects of his life. And she was devoted to him. Mm-hmm. She decided that this man has freed me from things that I could not free myself from. And that gave her a devotion to him. Totally devoted in ministry. And not only that, the scripture says they supported him out of their own means.
What that showed me, Tamara, is that whatever ministry you desire, you can operate in once you're doing it to the glory and the honor of God. Here back in those days, this was the finance ministry. These women supported Christ and his ministry out of their own
and the disciples as well. So they were basically putting the disciples through seminary school. If you would want to put it that way.
And they were indeed disciples, Tamara, and followers, because these women supported him financially. They give their all towards serving him. And Mary Magdalene was not a passive follower of Christ. She was active.
A woman of valor.
Yeah.
She was
active in her ministry.
Yeah, she was
towards Christ.
She was a woman of valor. I mean, for a woman back then, to follow a group of men and to be able to meet their needs, food and so forth, supported their travels and whatever else was needed for them at that time, it showed a great level of commitment.
And courage
to a person she believed in, that not only that she saw deliver herself, but see the same work in others, the miracles, the teachings. And so she watched his ministry blossom and see it impact thousands and thousands of people across jurisdictions. And she stayed the course in ministry and ministering to him and the disciples. That's the thing that we fail on a lot, staying the course.
Yeah.
You know, we may start something, we get excited about it. It's a new ministry, it looks like it's flourishing. But when the tough times come,
she was faithful and she endured.
Like we say, bushcraft.
Then you're gone. And what I liked too, Tamara, was that these women were allowed to witness key events.
Yes.
In Jesus' ministry. The crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 27, verses 55 and 56. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him.
Yeah.
Among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Mary, the mother of James and John, and the mother of Zebedee's children. They were there at his burial.
Yes.
Matthew 27 and 61. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the tomb. They was there at his resurrection. I mean, yes. These women were committed and faithful.
Faithful.
In John chapter 20, verses 16 through 18. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I have not been ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. They were their key events at his ministry.
And to me, that's outstanding. And we should, as women, look at that and feel the same honor that, you know, he gave to those women. He allowed them to experience the pain of the cross. He wanted them to be there. The Father could have orchestrated it in a different way.
Yeah.
But he allowed in his providence for those women to be there at the foot of the cross, experiencing the deep pain and agony that our Lord and Savior would have experienced as he hung on the cross, and to observe the Roman soldiers and things that were happening around him, the earthquake, the sky turning dark and all of that. They saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And then to know that he was put in a tomb, all of the hope, everything that they believed hung in the balance. But perhaps she visited that tomb because she heard that this would not be the end for him.
Right.
We know she wanted to go and do the ceremonial things that should happen. But perhaps it was something in her that said, this is not the end.
Devotion.
Devotion.
And faithfulness.
If we could be devoted like that in our marriage. just all over the...
Well, she had Jesus.
She had Jesus. We have Jesus too. But to be devoted to a cause like that, to be devoted to a person like that, it has to be a total transformation from the inward man. Mm-hmm. And also the understanding that I used to be, but now I am. Why am I am now? Because Christ delivered me.
You know, when I look at these women at the foot of the cross, some things came to mind because they were there at the most painful and humiliating moment in Jesus' life. The men fled. They left the scene.
Yeah.
And it was up to them. was there.
John was there.
Right.
The beloved.
And I won't fault the men because during that time, if the men had wanted to be bravado and stood up like Peter did with all that noise, and then when the time came, he denied him, then they would have probably got arrested and executed for insurrection. And so by design, God used
the men.
Especially
if you had a temper like Peter.
Yeah.
You know, if you had to pull a sword and cut hairs off, it could have happened that way too. But so, like I said, God providentially determined who, you know, how
they needed to be there
out.
Because of what would have happened with the disciples. So that act showed me how just the courage of women was so important compared to the fear of the men.
Yeah.
Like I said, not bashing them, but it just goes to show there are emotions. And these women showed courage. Yeah. Their lives would have been in danger too. Not so much as to men, because they didn't regard women. And they saw a group of women by the cross. And they're like, okay, these women, they have nothing to do with their time. But if they were men, they might have arrested them. But they were courageous nonetheless compared to the fear of the man. And it just told, you know, it was just taught me, Pam, you've got to stand firm on your conviction.
By God's grace.
By his grace. You've got to stand firm on your conviction.
While you were talking just now, something just dawned on me. And I don't know if I've quite thought about it before, but Peter said, you know, Lord, I will die with you. Mm-hmm. He was prepared to die with him, but you know what happened there. But Mary Magdalene, mm-hmm. what if in her mind she had said the same thing? Because we talk about a woman of valor and courage. She had to determine, because she was with his mother, not the mother.
Right.
If I can die with my child, okay, fine. I go in with my child.
Yes.
But here is this woman who was delivered from seven demons, and she had determined to be there, even if it would cost her life.
Because of what he did for her.
Peter said, mm-hmm. I will die with you. This woman showed, in a sense, that she was willing to die.
Significance of women in ministry.
And I'm not saying all of us would have that same courage, because we don't know what we'll do until we get there.
Exactly. And that's why I wouldn't say it. See, I love the Lord, but I'd say, okay, Lord, I don't want to go in the lion's den. I love the Lord, but I say, okay, God, I can't go in the fiery furnace. Don't let me pull my love like that. I love the Lord, but I don't know if I hang it on a cross, Lord. Don't do that to me. But yes, that love. And that devotion. And I wonder, Tamara, what you think? Why do you think then that women were more present than the men?
Well, in a safety aspect, I would suspect that the Roman soldiers would consider them to be less of a threat in a way.
Yeah.
So if you look at it, they probably would have had more freedom or access to the surroundings and be less threatening to those soldiers. But also, too, you get to think about, you said, the mother of James and John, you said,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the same mother who asked Jesus for her sons to sit on either side of him.
The throne, yeah.
This was an no pushover woman. Mm-hmm. She's a woman of means. Mm-hmm. And she's a woman of conviction. And she knew he was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. She knew Jesus was the Messiah. So she was willing to go the distance, because she saw him already on a throne.
Yeah.
Because you asked in your for your sons to sit. His mother was there, Mary Magdalene. I'm sure other women who may be nameless were there. We don't know. But these women were determined. They had set in their mind. They had this hope. They had this hope that they knew would not disappoint. And they were prepared that if they kill the body, they cannot kill the soul. We're going to go the distance. And so that was, I feel, a conviction.
Yeah. Yeah. A deep personal devotion.
Devotion.
They followed him and they ministered to him throughout his ministry. Their love for Jesus outweigh the fear.
And like I said, it wasn't like how we get to do things in a temporary way. You start a ministry, someone rub you the wrong way, you drop that, I ain't giving to that ministry no more because this one's serving and the next one. Where is your devotion to man or to God?
And then who is your devotion to?
Yeah.
See, if your devotion is not to Christ, yeah, you can feel that way.
Yeah.
You're going to feel that way because if you're doing it for self or if you're doing it to be seen, yeah. But if you are devoted to Christ, when you think about what he has done for you,
yeah,
it will cause you to serve him with all of your heart. And then in reading this, you know, Mary Magdalene had seven demons. And so what I got to thinking, yes, we all have struggles, not the same type. Not the same type, but
I got
nevertheless,
a couple now. Yeah. You can sell yourself.
Nevertheless, we all have our struggles.
Yeah, we struggle.
So let's not look at people and say, well, you didn't go what I went through. How could you stand up and say that? No, We all have struggles and we all go through. I remember one time you said to me, I always remember this is several years back when I was telling you something I was saying about how I didn't understand why the people were doing what they did. And you said, you know what, Pam? That may be a bondage for them.
Yeah.
And that thing which is a bondage for them may be easy for you.
Yeah.
But something that's a bondage for you may be easy
for someone else.
For someone else. So we all have it.
We have to extend and grace.
Yes, we all have it. And so let's not look at other people to say, well, yours was not as bad as mine. Mm-hmm. So you have no right to talk. No. We all have it, but there is a God
yes.
who is able to deliver
yes.
and set free once we go to Him and ask for His help.
And thank God, once Christ set us free, we have to respond. And our first response should be, we know that devotion requires action. Mary followed Jesus everywhere. We must do the same. John 12:26 says, whoever serves me must follow me. And then our second response should be devotion. It requires boldness.
Yeah.
Mary was at the foot of the cross when most of the disciples had fled. So 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. And finally, a devotion requires perseverance. Yes. Mary was the first at the tomb and did not stop seeking Christ. So let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12:1-2. So we end today's episode with this thought. Being set free is just the beginning. True devotion follows deliverance.
Amen.
Pam, would you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just thank you for the story of Mary Magdalene, a testimony of transformation, redemption, and purpose, Father. And just as you called her out of darkness into a life of devotion and mission, Father, we ask right now that you do the same in our lives. Help us, Lord, to let go of our past, embrace your healing, and walk boldly into the purpose you have set before us. And may we, like Mary, seek you with unwavering faith, Father, and proclaim your goodness with courage. Strengthen our hearts, renew our minds, and remind us, Father, that we are loved, we are chosen, and we are called for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.